Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Easy Conversations podcast, a podcast about having easy conversations, where we talk about adversity, mental health, spirituality, and societal issues. I'm your host, Furkan Dandia. In this week's episode, I'm excited to welcome Adam Hart. In this episode, Adam and I discuss burnout and Adam's journey of personal transformation. We both share the experience of burnout from working in the corporate world and how that led us to find our purpose in life. We both realize that often working a job that does not provide meaning can feel more daunting and eventually lead to burnout. Adam also shares the six-step program he uses to help others on their journey. Adam Hart is an international speaker and best-selling author whose mission is to help busy parents transform their quality of life and develop deeply connected relationships with their partners and children. Focusing on nervous system regulation, energetic attraction, and natural holistic wellness practices, Adam leads his clients to live the best version of themselves possible. To learn more about Adam and to get a copy of his six-step Unleash Your Energy Roadmap, please visit clearimpact.io. Adam has also graciously offered a 20% discount to the listeners of this podcast if they use the code EASY20 upon checkout. That's EASY20. And please leave a review for this podcast or comments in the comments section. I would truly appreciate it. All right, Adam, welcome to the Easy Conversations podcast. Thank you for joining me today and reaching out. I'm really excited about the conversation we're going to have. And before we get into our conversation today, I do want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself and let the listeners know a little bit about what it is that you do and who you are.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. And I'm a holistic personal transformation coach, and essentially spend a lot of my time working with folks who are feeling a bit overwhelmed and a bit stressed out with how life is unfolding and want an easier pathway to feeling more abundant. I tend to have a six-step process that has worked really well for me and obviously works really well for the folks that I share it with. And I'm happy to spend this time with you and add some value to your listeners.
Yeah, well, thanks. And I know when we talked offline, you'd mentioned what really started your journey was going through a bit of a burnout and working in a corporate lifestyle. What was that like and what forced you to take a different direction?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with the societal norms in terms of what we're constantly being told about how life should unfold for us, whether it's working hard, and eventually you get that the house, you get the marriage, you get the you get the certificates from school, and you're supposed to live happily ever after. And you know, for me, that just didn't work. Eventually, I had burnout at 26 years old, and suffering with depression and anxiety, and having no idea how to feel happy inside. And you know, I think there's a large part of what we are experiencing right now in society that has this this pull in terms of we give up a lot of our energy because we're following a model that we feel is the only way it can be for us to succeed. But yet it has so many of us feeling isolated, feeling lonely, and suffering mentally and physically in some capacity. So I was definitely in that place and got very lucky that I found a way out.
Yeah. And I think one of the things you'd shared with me previously and what resonated for me in terms of what we share is we both had this need to appease one of our parental figures, right? Yeah. And what was like that for you?
Well, yeah, I mean, growing up, I didn't have a close connection to a father figure. My dad wasn't super affectionate. When my parents split when I was 13, I definitely went through a large emotional struggle, a lot of self-esteem, self-worth. And my sister as well, you know, we were both diagnosed ADHD, both labeled as learning disabled. And, you know, so we had our struggles, and I really wanted to be the pleasing son. I didn't want my mom to go through any more of what I was identifying as pain and suffering that she was going through. And so I did my best to just, you know, snuff my own emotions and just try to be as good as I could. But I was still very impulsive, very distracted mentally, and got me into some trouble for sure. But it also led to my sugar addiction and some other addictions that, you know, I was using as ways to escape what emotions I didn't want to feel anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I hear you on that. Now with, you know, you've gone on this journey and you said most of your work is centered around helping people with their personal transformation. What does that look like? And what are you offering to people? And I guess, what have you learned from your past that you're able to offer as wisdom as well?
Yeah. Well, I think there's an element of our wellness that we're being, and I'm mindful of where I go with this, but we've lost our critical thought. We've lost our critical thought because of the amount of stress we're under in our modern society. So the sociology background for sure has helped me with an understanding of adaptation, human adaptation, especially in the modern world. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten to a point now where we are bombarded with stressors in our environment and in terms of how our brain operates with those stressors. And when I discovered that I could actually work with my own nervous system, it changed everything. That was the moment, that big spark of light that lit up inside of me there. I was like, wow, I actually can reset my own stress response. How come nobody ever told me that? How come all the doctors, and I'm not knocking this, the industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the counseling industry, but you know, all the different therapists I went to see, all the different doctors, nobody once ever said, it's about working with your own nervous system and teaching your nervous system how to work with your own brain. And I got lucky because I discovered it through rock climbing. Rock climbing was this portal in, you know, back when I was very unhealthy, I didn't want to buy another gym membership. So I stumbled upon an indoor rock climbing gym. And then the minute that I started climbing, I realized there's something about this sport that's teaching me how to regulate my own stress response. And, you know, 25 years ago, and that dove me deeply into that space, recognizing, wow, so if I can reset my own nervous system in the moments I'm feeling anxious and frustrated and anger and the self-esteem and self-worth, and I can actually teach my brain to let go of those thoughts,
yeah,
more peace and calm, I think other people are going to want to know this.
Right.
And that started the journey of teaching that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I agree with you. And I know before we started recording, I was sharing with you that I've started reading this book by Dr. Gabor Mate, When the Body Says No, The Cost of Hidden Stress. And timely enough, because I've been contemplating a lot of that too. And I think it's funny, right? Like a lot of it, at least early on in this book, I've just started reading it. There's a talk about chronic stress that often is in our subconscious. We're not fully aware of it and how that can manifest through illnesses and diseases. And people don't seem to find that connection. So a big proponent of it, and where I'm going with this, is the whole notion of the nervous system, as you alluded to. And what are some of the things that you focus on? And I know you've got a book as well, and you touch on the whole adaptation. What does that look like for people? And I know in your case, rock climbing was huge, but how can people work with their nervous system and be able to become more aware of some of these chronic stressors that we're exposed to on a daily basis? And some of it could be work related, family related, but even like stuff that we're exposed to through the news and the media and all these, like you said, we're inundated with information about how we should live our lives and what's wrong, what's right. And you're constantly getting bombarded. So what can a person do with all of this coming at us?
Yeah. I mean, my goal, my role is to make this as easy as possible for others to tap into, especially busy parents. You know, we need the next generation of kids to know how it feels to live with a regulated stress response. And, you know, I have a 6-step process. happy to obviously run through some of that process now, but sure. I want to make it clear that if anybody's listening and they resonate with this, I do have a PDF that I created with these steps on it. It's free to download. It's right off my website, clearimpact.io. You can grab it there. But the key here is recognizing that right now, most of us are living with a brain that we don't even realize is stuck in an algorithm. It's learnt over our lifetime how to optimize thoughts to create a response in the body that gives it the energy it wants, right? And so it took me a while to understand that and recognize, okay, so all these thoughts that I'm having about myself and the way I identify myself and all these stories that my mind has created about my life, they're not real. They're all based off of my brain trying to get me to do a certain thing so that it gets the energy. And predominantly, the two sources of energy that it wants most is hormonally, it wants your adrenaline, because it's the surge of energy, and it wants dopamine, which is the voltage of the brain,
right?
And so you think in terms of adrenaline, that comes from anxiety. It comes from thoughts of the future. And then when you want to escape whatever is happening in your life, we tend to turn to, you know, the dominant ones. For me, it was sugar growing up.
Yeah.
But then you also have social media, you have shopping, gambling, pornography,
right.
You know, there's so many ways that we're turning to. And so for me, it was recognizing that, okay, the number one thing is first step. I need to start to notice the patterns. Where is my mind tripping me up and trying to get me to be reactive?
Right.
Okay. Once you get that down, then you can start to work with your brain in those moments to teach the brain to let go of the use of those thoughts so that you have space for presence. I don't know how that lands for you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I think that's been a huge thing for me as well, right? And it's funny how it's often even in the case for me where a lot of it comes from childhood too, this programming of if I'm not doing something, then I'm being useless, right? I'm not contributing or I'm wasting my time. And it's funny, like this whole week, so we were talking like last week, but I have my son here for spring break. And that's obviously caused me to take a break from my normal routine of exercise. And I was reflecting on this yesterday in a, you know, early thinking process, but it's also the messaging we've created around being active and exercising. And I see a lot of it on social media too. There's this push that, you know, if you don't have this certain physique, then maybe you're not living your best life or you're not doing enough. And I really had to sit with that. I'm like, okay, how much of that have I internalized and how much of that am I passing on to my son? And, you know, as we were talking about as you alluded to earlier as well, this intergenerational trauma that we inherit from our parents. And I had to really sit there. I'm like, well, am I passing on this trauma to my son? And, you know, even if I have the right intentions and I'm trying to motivate him and demonstrate that, oh, you know, you have to take care of yourself, how much is too much? And to your point, I think, you know, when your brain picks up this algorithm and then if you're not adhering to the programming that you're surrounded by, you start creating these internal narratives.
We're all kind of living this program right now because we're being told certain ways to get our health back on track that are not working for the majority of us.
Right.
They're only adding fuel to the brain to lock into more patterns because we know when we go on a diet, it creates a stress response and the brain's like, yeah, another diet. All right, let's use this. Starts to create all these thoughts of cravings. And so, you know, there's another approach. And the approach is just recognizing that what we want to get in touch with is what it feels like to be at peace. What does it feel like to be okay with this moment? Mm. And this moment is a biological state. Sorry. This moment is a biological state, and it comes from harnessing the nervous system into the calm, rest, and digest parasympathetic state.
Right.
When we learn that that's an actual state that we can feel into, you start to learn that you can expand from there, because that's where presence is, but it's also where fulfillment lives. Mm-hmm. So what we need to recognize is that right now society, it's got us just so overly triggered, overly reactive.
Right.
Our brains are feeding off of our stress response, and we're not being given the right tools to create the space for us to be regulated. Mm-hmm. And when we become regulated by using some very specific practices that fit our busy lives, that don't take up a lot of time,
right?
That's the key, because then it doesn't create the stress response. Then you start to be able to hold space for yourself to be, what I say, really, it's engulfing yourself in self-love, but it also allows you to start to co-regulate those around you. That's what our kids need. The kids, you know, when I have two kids, 8 and 11, they don't need the words out of my mouth. Yeah, the words are nice, but what they need is they need my loving vibration from my nervous system. And when I hold space, you know, that the last few days they've been home from school, it's been really, you know, triggering, and you know how it can get, right? And it's just constant asking for things. And it's like, okay, Adam, do your practices, create the peace. Don't be reactive. Because once I'm reactive, it just feeds their nervous system. Their brain loves it. And so one of us has to be the regulator,
right?
And so the more we do that for ourselves, we become that for others. And now when I, you know, when I'm present with my kids and hold space in my nervous system to not be reactive, it gives this space for them to explore that feeling that they're not getting in most other areas of our society right now. So mm-hmm. one of us has to do that. Not only is it beneficial for us, obviously, there's a huge mental and physical benefit when we ground ourselves in this moment, but how it permeates out into those we connect with, it's really substantial.
Absolutely. And it's so important you mention that, because that was kind of my experience yesterday, where I felt like I was just not regulated and feeling really irritated. And I had to really take that break to regulate myself and, you know, have a conversation with my son. Be like, hey, you know what? This is what's going on for me. I apologize. Let's, you know, I'm going to try to be more present and let's move forward. And I could see that shift in him as well, because he was like, okay, you know, he's like, Dad's over the edge, but now he's back and it's good, right? And it was a great experience just to go through that. But I think not get caught in the shame of it too, right? Because there was that instance for me where I was like, man, I've just been just doing this for the last day and I felt bad. But it was like, okay, I'm not going to let myself get trapped in the shame cycle and come out of it. And I think that's part of it too, right? Where
that's huge.
Your point, huge. Being in that present moment. So acknowledging what's going on, but not let it pull you back and try to move.
Well, the thing is the brain's learning constantly. So it will know if you have been disrupted, whether you're being reactive or triggered, anxious, it's learning. So it knows, okay, right now in these moments that you're interacting with your son, it's recognizing, okay, if I keep these thoughts going, I'm going to keep getting fed
right
off of this stress response. And so even those moments where we do realize and we say, oh, whoa, 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 okay, I've been off the rails here. Sorry, yeah. Sorry, you know, sorry, guys. I apologize. That's great, but that's just words.
Right.
So how do we actually shift the vibration of our nervous system so that the nervous system represents that love? Mm-hmm. That's the key. And that's, you know, primarily the axis is through our breath. It's breath work. It's teaching the vagus nerve to be this beautiful, coherent signal from the heart to the brain, so that it's working in a very beautiful, cohesive relationship. The brain doesn't like that.
Right.
And so it takes work, because it's so programmed into running the way it's running, and society is set up in such a way that we're so disrupted that it does take work, but it doesn't have to be hard. It just needs commitment. Mm-hmm. And this is what I learned from rock climbing, was this idea of, okay, so I'm in a fight or flight, a real fight or flight stress response, and I can actually reset it in this moment. It's like, well, what's this I'm doing? Like, what's with this breath practice that I'm doing while I'm climbing? And, you know, when I started to bring the same breath practice in the moments of life into my daily life, I realized, oh, so when I'm freaking out with my kids, I can actually bring myself back. And I know it doesn't seem like a whole lot, but that's all we need. You know, once we start to learn how to do that and feel the energy it brings back to the body and the mind, you realize, wow, I didn't have to go chasing another diet. I didn't have to go chasing another, because what that does is immediately it starts to manage how your body performs. It starts to decrease inflammation. It starts to balance your hormones. It starts to give your mitochondria back its fuel, and mm-hmm. your digestion improves, your immune system boosts up. It's right. like all of this comes from operating the nervous system from the parasympathetic state. And mm-hmm. we've just lost touch with what that really feels like as our life experience. And there's not a lot of community around that experience. And so you start to learn it yourself. And then you really realize, wow, all the people around us, for the most part, they don't have access to this.
Right.
Most people we know in our relationships at work and at home, they're very triggered relationships, and that breaks the communication down too. So when you start to bring yourself back into this moment through your nervous system, it improves every area of your life.
Right, right. Yeah, no, and thank you for building on that. And I agree. I mean, I've started doing breath work first thing in the morning, and you know, I can tell when I'm off because I struggle remaining present even while I'm doing the breath work because my mind is constantly wandering. And another thing that's helped me is cold exposure. That's really helped me, because the only thing you can really focus on when you're in cold water is your breath, right? And that's yeah. really helped me regulate my nervous system, as you've alluded to. Otherwise, I think, to your point, our body's constantly in that fight or flight state, right? And yeah. I mean, prehistorically, that served us for various reasons. But in today's world, it's a lot of it is manufactured, and we're just not built for those kind of stressors. And then, you know, as you alluded to, but once you're in that fight or flight, your body's just pumping the stress hormones and your immune system's reacting to that. And as we talked about previously, that can lead to some of these health issues.
It's where all the disease is coming from.
Yeah.
It's an inflammatory response that then allows the rest of the body to start to try and compensate, and the mind starts to shut off, right? The executive function. So it feeds into a system that is very profitable, but yet, you know, do I want it to be off of my sickness? No, I want to be part of a solution. And
right.
Again, the only way to be part of that solution is to have the right tools in the right order to start to bring our body and our mind back online so that we can help facilitate others to tap into them.
Right.
And again, it just has to be one where we don't know what we don't know. And right now, this is not known. And I appreciate, you know, Gabor Maté. The work that he does is phenomenal. And
yeah.
You know, more of us should read and watch and listen to what he's up to, because he's got it right. I mean, yeah. So much of what we're experiencing is coming from generational experiences, and then our lives as we grow up have a lot of that vibrational experience that we take on, and then we become adults, and now we have all the adult responsibilities of our health, our finance, our career, our relationships, and you start to realize, wow, okay, so there's going to be a manifestation of what you're experiencing, because it's coming from your nervous system energy. And so if you pull yourself back and realize, wow, I'm a little frustrated with my finances, I'm a little frustrated with my career, I'm a little frustrated, it's because of how your nervous system is operating.
Mm-hmm.
And we teach the nervous system to be present.
Right.
And you mentioned cold thermogenesis. So cold therapy is a beautiful way to train the nervous system. Yes, there's so many benefits to cold water. The only reason why I practice cold thermogenesis is because of how it activates my nervous system
mm-hmm.
and teaches me what it feels like to live in a parasympathetic state. And that's at the core of all the practices that I do and all the, you know, I have a program I teach all my clients. It's Unleash Your Energy Foundation. Mm-hmm. It's all about this foundation, which is your nervous system. And in that, you learn a bunch of practices that are only meant to work with your nervous system.
Right.
Not anything else, you know, like, okay, so if you look at nutrition, for example, and I have a book that I wrote around nutrition, it's not, okay, well, let's learn about nutrition so that we have more energy and better quality sleep and lose some weight. No, it's like, how do I use nutrition to teach myself how to work with my nervous system in a way where I feel the power of presence?
Right.
And when we learn some of these beautiful techniques, you can start to build out your days in a way where that's what you're honoring, just your nervous system. It's not about what the brain is up to, because the brain is going to tell you to chase all sorts of solutions. Mm. You know, as soon as you get symptoms, right, the brain will automatically turn to, how do I fix this? How do I get rid of it? How do I change this?
Right.
And that's when you start to create more stress.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think to what you mentioned earlier too, right? When you're chasing those solutions, there is that release of dopamine, right? So it does feel good to, to run after new solutions or try to solve new problems.
It's part of the brain's use of thoughts. You know, on average, we have 70,000 thoughts a day. And so, you know, the future focused thinking is what anxiety is defined as, really. It's just this default mode network of the brain that loves to always be driving us into a step ahead, a step ahead, a step ahead, a step ahead, because it creates a drip or a big pour of dopamine and also adrenaline. And so the brain's just like, woohoo, this is the best. Let's just keep these thoughts going.
Yeah.
But then you're living a fraction of who you really are and your possibilities.
Right.
And so if we're not mindful of how our own brain is operating and teach it to adapt to the amount of stress we have in modern society, we'll never live a fulfilled life. Mm-hmm. Fulfillment, like I mentioned, it comes from the parasympathetic state. It comes from presence. And from there, you can learn to then really bring more of that feeling to you by holding space for that feeling to be where you're living from.
Right. Right.
The manifestation part.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to give you an opportunity, perhaps, if you want to expand on the six steps you alluded to earlier. And I think part of it is to acknowledge also that, like, stressors are the reality, right? We are going to have concerns about finances, about our children, about all the things that we're obviously living in this world, and we have to deal with a lot of the realities of life. So the stressors will always be there, but what can people do to manage them in a healthy way? And as you said, like, regulate our nervous system and be in that parasympathetic state rather than be triggered and running around with all these stressors causing damage to our health.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, our nervous system really is our superpowers. Mm-hmm. Stress is a beautiful thing. Right. You know, it's such an interesting human experience that, you know, we know animals have it as well. And to be able to optimize it and use stress to your advantage. You know, the other day I was out walking with my dog and my dog got a little aggressive with another dog and my nervous system kicked in. But it was one of those moments where it was like, this is a moment where I need this.
Yeah. You
know, my dog's 80 pounds and I have to pick her up. And, you know, it's a very useful thing, but when we learn to manage it, then we realize that we can actually have this beautiful relationship with our mental and physical abilities that we have not been given access to. And so when I work with any of my clients, you know, and it's a group-based program because you need community around this. We need to have other people who get this work. The first thing that we start to work on is noticing, right? So this is step one, is you just want to start to build out this map of, okay, so what is my mind up to? Let's start to have this helicopter view of the thoughts that I have around finance and career and my relationships and my health. Okay, let's start to map those out. Then the key is you really want to start to, as you find these ones, you want to start to work with your brain in those moments. And so we're not going to look at all of them to start because it's quite overwhelming, but let's pick one pattern that you recognize. Okay. Right. So every time I see my partner, I get frustrated with them. I'm resentful for something. You know, this is one that I used to have quite a lot. You know, I'd come down and the kitchen sink would be full of plates and stuff. And I'd be like, oh my God, they don't care about me. And look at this. And so it's being able to see those patterns and in those moments, begin to work with your brain, begin to teach your brain that, hey, it's okay. And this is the breath practice. So the breath practice is called heart flow. It's a 33-second technique based off of what's called heart rate variability, HRV. So you're playing around with your vagus nerve, which is what cleans this beautiful signal up so that you can take your energy in a way where it vibrates from your heart up to your brain to teach your brain to let go, but it turns your executive function back on. Mm. And what it also does is it then gives you the ability to start to play around with a fresh emotion, a fresh feeling of what you do want to have in that moment. Mm-hmm. And so that's another key step along that, the six steps, is now once you have the identification of the pattern, you're starting to work with your brain in those moments to reset it. Now you have to but for this to work really well is you want to now change the vibration of your nervous system to be in alignment with what you do want. And so there's this whole process of crafting what I call your perfect life vision,
right?
Where we take all those areas and we really learn how to craft an energy around each of those so that when one of those trips you up during your day, you have the vibration of how you want it to be to replace it with.
Right.
Because you start to realize pretty quick that that's then what you start to manifest more is that that feeling, that experience. And so the following steps of that, obviously, is you want, the community aspect, but also this idea of paying attention.
Right.
You know, once you start to do this work, you're going to start to see things showing up in a much more aligned way with how you want to feel and feeling more fulfilled. And the more you notice those showing up, you're going to start to tip the scales so that you start to, instead of operating from 20% present and 80% reactive, you start to flip that. So all of a sudden you can get above water. So you're not drowning anymore.
Right.
That comes from paying attention to how it's working in your life.
Yeah.
So then where all of a sudden can be 80% present, 20% reactive. And that's where you want to be.
Well, and I think it's almost like building a muscle, right? Takes time and effort.
Oh, yeah.
And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And to your point, you kind of start.
Well, and the brain doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Right. It will. And when we start working together, it's why support is such a key piece to this, is because the brain, it recognizes, like there's this first week or 2 week period where it's like the honeymoon phase where the brain doesn't recognize quite yet what you're doing, but you immediately start to balance your hormones. But in that second week or so, the brain's like, oh, okay, where is my adrenaline? Where's my cortisol? Why are you not being reactive to this specific thought that I've been giving you for all these years? How come now you're not reacting? I'm going to get louder. I'm going to try and push it even more. And then so you're able to go, whoa, this is so absurd. What is my mind doing right now? It's going crazy. But you have the tools to be able to teach it to let go. And that's the moment. That's the moment that if you're willing to stay practice, the mind is, it's so efficient that it will not use the energy towards that thought if you stop reacting to it. And that's what we want, because now all of a sudden that lets go of that pattern and now you have space. And the more we start to do this with more of our thoughts that are blocking us, it starts to open up this doorway for a whole other way of being. But the brain, again, this is why community is so key. We need to have other folks who understand regulation for themselves and then can provide co-regulation while we also go through this.
Right.
And that's pretty rare right now.
And there's an aspect of accountability too, right? I've done some group challenges, and I think just knowing that other people are doing it or they're pushing themselves almost motivates you to be a part of it, right? And it creates that sense of accountability towards each other.
Gotta have accountability. Life is just happening. We have tons of responsibilities every day. It shouldn't have to be something where we have to overhaul our lives, but it does take commitment to the practices. And if we don't have some accountability parameters in place, it gives too much leeway for the mind to sabotage.
Right.
So there has to be some parameters of accountability that you're willing to be okay with.
For sure. So then, as people become more aware of some of these inherent stressors and start responding differently, what are some of the next steps that they can do to maintain?
Yeah, I love
these
it.
Practices?
Great question. Yeah. And so this is really where the extension of the work starts to be about building even more resilience. And so in the way that I work with my clients, we have our foundation program. It's 3 months, Unleash Your Energy Foundation. And that's really just working with the nervous system, getting your brain to let go of a lot of those patterns, the algorithms around stress, giving you space to be more present. So now that you have this baseline of presence that's above drowning, now that you have this baseline where you're above drowning, you can now start to look at those other areas of your life, which I call the energy accelerators.
Right.
So this is your nutrition. Your sleep is number one, then your nutrition, your fitness, then your environment around you, and your relationships. And I work really closely with my clients on that. So that's the second program that's all based off of the accelerators that teaches you all those different techniques inside of sleep, inside of nutrition. How can you learn to optimize your nervous system energy in each of these areas now? You cannot, I mean, most of us are looking at those areas now as our primary ways of getting healthy, but we know it, for the most part, it creates a stress response. So if your foundation isn't set and you're looking at nutrition, you're going to be in trouble. If your foundation is, you know, your nervous system is all reactive from your brain, sleep is, your sleep's going to be disrupted, and taking melatonin is okay. Sure. You can find some techniques, but it's not going to get you to where you want to get to.
Right.
Once the foundation's in place, then you can start to look at all those other areas and you can start to implement these beautiful practices with more ease. Like cold thermogenesis is a great example. You know, that's in the environment section. It's how do you use your environment to boost your relationship with your nervous system?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, sleep is so important, right? It's one of, I did a podcast a while ago around sleep, and the guest mentioned that it's probably one of the easiest hacks we have in life. And, you know, I think there's more and more research coming out that is validating that too, right? And we often take sleep for granted, right? It's like, oh, I have to do more work, so I'm going to sleep less. It's the first thing that we're willing to compromise. And
well, and the brain wants us to compromise because it creates more stress. So,
right.
You know, and most of us, well, not most, but a lot of us have our bedroom environment set up in a way where it's a bit of an entertainment center. And we know that that's just going to give the brain more fuel. So,
right.
Yeah, we have to honor our sleep, and we have to learn how to utilize the circadian rhythm, the 24-hour light cycle. Yeah. You know, when we start to just do some subtle things to what we think are normal in our society, I call these cultural norms. We think all these things are normal for us to have access to you know, the processed food and all the gadgets that we have and all the artificial light and all this. It's not normal.
Right.
But nor should we have to live in a cave. So how do we utilize modern society in a way where it's not so triggering to your own biology, so that you can actually live with technology and all the beautiful things that we have for comfort, but without having it give your brain access to tripping you up so that, you know, you're always feeling a little depressed or a little anxious. You want to feel free and you want to feel fulfilled. And we can do that in modern society. We just need to understand that, again, it comes down to building a very strong foundation and then learning how to build the resilience after that.
For sure. For sure. And on the topic of nutrition, what do you focus on? Because that is also a big topic, obviously. There's tons of information, different types of diets, and you should do this, you should do that. And some of the, majority of the diets contradict each other. So,
yeah.
What do people need to focus on? And, you know, the reason why I ask that is because everyone's body type is different. Some may respond differently to certain things and others may benefit from other forms of diet. So it's one of the things I look at and focus on is figuring out what works for me, not necessarily what works for the other person.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. I mean, again, the industry is just, especially if you look online in the social media aspect of nutrition, it's so crazy. I mean, I've been in the nutrition space for 15, 20 years. I've got best-selling nutrition books. So, you know, I know the space extremely well, and it's very noisy. Mm-hmm. And at the core of my experience with nutrition is that, yeah, it's like fingerprints. It's my own experience. And the more I create presence in my relationship with food, I'm able to notice what my gut is doing. And there's so much information out there around gut health right now. And
yeah,
I think it really is the key because it's part of the linking of the connection to your nervous system. And a lot of neurotransmitters like serotonin are predominantly coming from your immune function is predominantly in your colon, your large intestine. So there's so much happening in the gut that if we can create presence in our experience with nutrition, you're going to manifest the right food for you because it all has a link vibrationally that correlates with a feeling. And so if you eat something and you're being present in it and then your day keeps going on and you're still cultivating a relationship with presence, you're going to notice how it interacts with your body and you're going to notice how you crave differently. And so, you know, one of the hacks or the practices that we teach in the nutrition space of our program is, again, around creating presence in the moment. So let's say, for example, sugar. Right. So all of a sudden you realize, wow, I'm out of control with my, and this is me thinking of my own life.
Yeah.
Out of control with my cravings for eating cookies. I love cookies. I still love cookies. It's all good. But what I did, and again, what I teach, is that in the moments that you're craving those and you're picking them up and the brain's just wanting you to be so reactive to those, that's the moment. That's the moment you stop. You have the cookie in your hand. Okay. You just take that 33 seconds. You reset your stress response. You send a beautiful, clean signal from your vagus nerve up to your brain. Reset it all. And now feel, okay, there's the cookie in my hand. How am I feeling about this? Do I still want it, or am I okay to let it go?
Right.
And maybe go in the other direction that you're now putting energy towards.
Right.
Key is that you do not have to eliminate the cookie. This is like when I discovered this, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, I don't have to diet anymore. I just have to create moments of pausing.
Right.
And so what I found, and what a lot of my clients find, is that the more that you're willing to do that, and the brain will fight you, it does not want you to stop. It wants you to live in that reactive state, one step ahead, one step ahead. But when you do create that pause, you gain power. Mm-hmm. And so it starts to shift the cravings, because you start to actually realize, I don't even want this.
Right.
But it's because you stopped for that split second, reignited your nervous system. It gave you this new opportunity in front of you without having to eliminate anything.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to the whole aspect of regulating, right? Because a lot of the times our brain is responding and we're craving something due to a stress, right? It typically a stress response. At least that's what I've experienced.
Oh, you know, huge.
This whole concept of comfort food. It's like, I'll just fill myself with junk food and I'll just feel better. But it's me responding to stress. And to your point, when you're able to pause and regulate, now you're approaching that craving or whatever you wanted from a different angle.
Yeah. Right? Different perspective. It gives you the space to feel powerful. It's really interesting, right? Because, you know, you could have something that's locked you in for so long and you feel, you know, I had so much shame around my, you know, when I was overweight and pre-diabetic. Right. So guilty and just so uncertain, and but not realizing that it was my brain that just had me locked in this space. And when I began to, thanks again to climbing, understand that ability to reset my own stress response, I realized, yeah, this is one of those areas that I could use this. What if I started to use this when I'm going to grab the cookies? And all of a sudden it happened. Like, it was immediate. I was like, holy crap, I figured this out. But right. Now I have to commit to practicing. And the more you do, the more you practice, the more you can be okay with some of the reactivity. You know, I still like to drink beer. I still like to eat cookies. That's not about perfection, right. But it's about having that balance where I know that, and I don't know percentage of, you know, exactly, but I'm definitely in the higher percentage of living present,
right,
compared to being reactive, especially based on where I once was. And I think that's what we're after, is just recognizing, okay, that should be my primary focus. My wellness is coming from the way my nervous system operates. And if I just learn how to support it to show me what it wants to do and connect to the feeling it brings me, it's really a beautiful wellness path that we all can manage.
Absolutely. And I mean, because it's something we're not used to, there's an aspect of neuroplasticity there too, right? You're just forming new neural pathways that don't exist. And they get stronger the more you use them. So.
Well, and you know, again, being diagnosed ADHD and learning disabled and, you know, whatever other labels that, you know, I was definitely owning, and, you know, the way my brain functions now and operating, you know, in terms of managing my kids and having a business and being a loving, caring husband and, you know, all my own athletic pursuits, because I'm still climbing, I'm still mountain biking, all these other things. It takes a lot of brain power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to just, and a lot of the folks that I work with are very A-type, and they're just plowing through, but they're using everything they've got, and they're coming home exhausted. And so to look at how my life is, and see how many things that have to get done every day, and still at the end of the day have brain power and have physical energy and feel happy inside. It's like, wow. Yeah. It's so significant, and it's so accessible. Again, it's this idea that we're not being given access to how to work with it.
Right. And to your point, it's, you know, approaching everything with that higher vibrational frequency where you're almost in that flow state and it doesn't feel like you're exerting too much. So then you're able to have that energy, same type of energy for everything, right? And still have enough in the bank for family.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, immediately when you honor your nervous system in this way, you're plugging up all those leaks and it's the boat with all the holes. Of course, it's going to start to sink, and eventually the boat's going to sink to the point where, you know, that's right. That's your health. And, you know, we know it based off of the symptoms we have, and the symptoms are trying to, some of them are very subtle, but some of them are trying to scream at us like, hey, pay attention. I'm, you know, the brain fog or the agitation or the yelling and being angry, or you're all of a sudden sleep deprived, or, you know, all the symptoms are the communication of your mind and body trying to say, hey, I need you to give some attention here. But again, what we tend to do is go into fixing mode, and, you know, it just perpetuates the inflammation. And then, you know, so when we do start to work with this in this way, we start to plug up a lot of those holes in a way where you gain that energy back, and you start to feel this internal strength that you recognize, wow, there's something significant about my nervous system and how my brain operates that nobody ever taught me. And right. Here I am now exploring it. And, you know, as far as this idea of having one life to live, which is, as far as we know, that's all we have, we want to commit ourselves in a way that allows us to be part of a solution, but also part of the contribution to the next generation.
Yeah.
And that is, again, it's this vibrational piece. It's how can I hold space inside of myself to be in love with myself, which is what resetting your nervous system really is. It's an act of self-love.
Yeah.
And allow that energy to support my kids and those around me so that they can understand that this is a place they can choose to live too. And that's the mission. It's the more of us that are co-regulated, the better off we all are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I agree. And thank you, Adam, for all of that. I really appreciate it. And, but as we come to a close here, I want to give you an opportunity to perhaps share with the listeners, if they want to get a hold of you, what are some ways they can find you online, whether it's social media or just your website? I know you alluded to your website earlier, but yeah, what can people do to find you?
Well, if anybody wants the Unleash Your Energy Roadmap, that's the 6 steps that all my clients start with going through, clearimpact.io, clearimpact.io. They can grab a copy. It's free. And anybody who's interested in doing this work, the Unleash Your Energy Foundation, it's a group-based program. They can go on the website as well. Just click the button, work with Adam, and it'll walk you through there. And I'd love to give anybody who does choose to sign up for that, I want to give them a promo code based off of, you know, you're having me on the show, if you're okay with that.
Absolutely.
We'll just use EZ20 for 20% off. And I'd love to share more energy with anybody who resonates. Not for everybody, but if you're really ready and committed, it's great.
Absolutely. I'll put all of that in the show notes for the listeners. So if they want to get in on that, they can definitely take that route and work with you.
Right on. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming on and sharing all of this. I'm sure listeners will get a lot out of it, but appreciate the work you're doing and all of the knowledge you've acquired to be able to support others on their journey.
Right on.
Thank you for checking this episode out with Adam. As always, please leave a review or a comment in the comment section. I love hearing from you. And until next week.